Need a plan for September? Attend North Shore Community College's open house on Saturday, June 25th from 10 to noon in Danvers. Learn about 80-plus associate degree and career training programs. Enrolling now for September of this year. Details at northshore.edu. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. It's Monday. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore here on the program as we look at some of the news stories from around the North Shore on this Monday. And, Rick, as we begin the week, it looks like the high school sports season is pretty much it all wound up, I think, last night with St. John's Prep losing in that Super 8 tournament. Tough loss for them as they lost to Braintree, the team that they lost to open it up. But I guess that tells us that Braintree's the best team in the Super 8, as it was kind of a rematch, I think, of sorts for the opening game at St. John's Prep. Now it seems like weeks and weeks ago. But anyways, 3-2 decision, a tough one there for the Prep, but they lost, and after winning five straight games out of the loser's bracket to get back into that championship game for the second straight year. So very similar. It's almost like it's deja vu all over again, as Yogi would say. So
yeah, and same thing with Danvers High School, too. They went through the same process. So close, but just didn't quite make it. Still, to get that far, those are good memories for the kids. You know, and when you lose to a team that plays better than you on a given day, that's the way it is. That's sports. That's what it's all about. And, by the way, Bill, happy first day of summer. Today is the summer solstice.
Yeah, it is. And the days are long. The sun is up early. The sun is up late, so to speak. And so the days are long right now. So enjoy this weather right now. A couple of stories here making news. In the item, they have the story that was on all the television news last night. But a 13-year-old boy, this is from Gayla Colley from the Lynn item, a 13-year-old Lynn boy died after being pulled from Walden Pond in the Lynn Woods Reservation Sunday by emergency crews. I know Saugus were the first responders to get there. The teen was taken to Union Hospital, pronounced dead. That, according to Essex County District Attorney's Carrie Kimball Monahan, a spokesman for the district attorney's office. Lynn District Fire Chief Stephen Archer and Lynn and Saugus and Fire Police Departments, along with Atlantic Ambulance, responded. So there'll be an update on that, I'm sure, at some point during the day today, but a very tragic situation. There's really not any swimming there. There's just a great resource, the Lynn Woods, the Lynn Reservation, but there are a lot of areas with water, and I saw one of the TV reports, one of the women mentioning that there are pipes down there, so you never know what's going on there. It is a reservoir, so there's not supposed to be swimming, but you know kids, and so that's a very tragic situation there.
That time of year, and boy, you just wish people would be more careful. Hate to hear that stuff. That's horrible.
Another story that made the television news. We have the post up as well on our website. Is the incident in Revere on Revere Beach? And I'm probably just going to pull this off of our website here today this morning. But the state police arrested a man. Arrested a Revere man, Giampaolo Sarantani, 24 years old. He was near that bandstand in Saugus, and apparently, well, I won't go into all the details. The details are in the story if you want to read it. But he ends up they're charging him with a is it a hate crime? I guess it's an assault and a civil rights violation. How about that? On a group of minorities and so on. There was a hammer involved. Some say the hammer did hit an individual, but clearly a very unfortunate situation there. And that happened yesterday at about 4:20 yesterday afternoon. The other thing in Lynn happened earlier in the afternoon on Sunday. But two very tragic events right nearby here on the North Shore on Sunday.
Well, Bill, changing course a little bit. Not a lot going on up in Gloucester in terms of hard news. But it's celebration time for Cape Anners, especially Gloucester residents, with the St. Peter's Fiesta scheduled for this week. And the novenas will be ending up today and tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday. The novena to St. Peter. The final two services will be held at the American Legion on Washington Street in connection with the nine-day novena. And then Fiesta Carnival will be opening on Wednesday at 5 p.m. So the carnival will actually start right at St. Peter's Square before the Fiesta events. And then there's an article about some new things going on at the Fiesta. There's some new bleachers and a new band, a different band, a Peabody band that will be playing. I believe they're called Wildfire, and they will be playing on Thursday. The official opening is on Friday, but there'll be many, many events going on in Gloucester at St. Peter's Square before that. And then something else that caught my eye, Bill, I don't know if you remember, but 5 or 10 years ago, there were some commercials on by Dove, D-O-V-E, the Dove soap. And I remember saying to my wife one day, I said, come in here, you have to look at this. And she saw me watching a commercial of what appeared to be women in underwear. And I said, before you judge, take a look at this. And it was a commercial of women of all sizes, shapes, colors, and ages who were being shown by Dove to be beautiful people. And there wasn't anything erotic or sensual or sexual about it. It was a completely different thing because, you know, the TV is saturated with these, what do you call those women with the angel things on? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, not that I would know. Not that I would know, Rick, but
Victoria's
Secret models. Yeah. I just happened to. I just Googled that. I did not know that at the top of my head. No,
I understand that. Right. Bill, I get that. But, you know, no, you see them, the TV is saturated with that. But Dove took a really different tack. And as educators, we know how appearance and peer pressure affects kids, especially girls in high school, in junior high school, and even in elementary school. And so Dove took this campaign of trying to change the image of women on television. I think they did a great job. But sort of in connection with that, there's a Gloucester woman who was taking up the mantle, if you will, and she is sponsoring a Feel Beautiful event, which includes professional makeup, styling, and photography hosted by the Positive Role Model Project. And it's the headline in the paper, an article by Demetra Lavakris, Joanne McKenzie. The headline says, quote, if you feel beautiful, you'll be beautiful, unquote. And, you know, it's part of that campaign to get kids to understand that no matter what their physical appearance may be to others, they're beautiful. And this event will take place on Sunday, June 26th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Gloucester High School's cafeteria. And it is free to women. I love this. How much? Free to women of all ages, shapes, and sizes, but registration is required because slots are limited. Interested women may email feelbeautifulevent@yahoo.com, and an organizer will confirm registration. For details, you can visit projectprm.com. Projectprm.com. That's one word. And it's fascinating. Terrific article. By Demetra on promoting positive esteem, self-esteem for kids and people of all ages, and focused, of course, mainly on women because advertising has done a tremendous disservice to them over the years.
Well, I'm thinking, Rick, if I came up to that woman and said, you know, you're saying that if you feel beautiful, then you are beautiful, she would take a look at me and say, but there are exceptions. There are exceptions to that. There are, in your case, there could be an exception to that. I mean, it's not. There's no hard and fast rules here on this, but I'm just thinking, thanks for bringing that up, but there are exceptions. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know about you, but I'm okay with that. I just try not to look in the mirror as often as I can. Try to avoid self-images there.
I've removed the mirrors. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the only mirror is a rear-view mirror. That's the only mirror that I want. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I want to mention one other thing, Bill. It's sort of a sporting event in Gloucester, but the International Dory Races took place in Gloucester over the weekend. And USA won by, I think, a margin of 3-2 in terms of overall races. And my brother-in-law and my wife's cousin, my brother-in-law, Joe Cominelli, is my wife's brother, and the cousin, Jim Tarantino, the old-timers, came through in the men's open division, and they won. Bit of a controversy on that, but they did win. And so congratulations to all the rowers. It's a great event. The rowers come down from Lunenburg, and they spend a few days down here. And then in August, it's a home-and-home series. So there will be another row-off in Gloucester for people to represent the USA up in Lunenburg in August.
One other story also from the front page of the item today. This is actually, it's Gayla Colley again, come to think of it here. It's Governor Baker, as you know, lives in Swampscott, and protesters camped outside his home and demand that he protect youth and clean and safe energy. So about 30 activists from organizations, including 350 Massachusetts for a Better Future and Neighbor to Neighbor, went to Baker's Monument Avenue home with signs and megaphones. They wanted to present him with a Father's Day card and asked that he support clean energy rather than gas pipelines and the taxes needed to build them. So let me just see here. We really wanted to highlight the nature of Charlie Baker as a father, said Craig Attermost, 350 Mass senior advisor. This is an opportunity for him to show himself as a caretaker for the Commonwealth. So no day off for the governor yesterday on Father's Day. And also, there was a fire in Peabody on Friday night. This is a fire that happened. This is a front page story. I think the item had it too on the weekend. So did the Salem News. But it was on Little's Lane. But it began on Saturday morning, and so there was a house fire there. And they have a photo in the Salem News and today's paper, the Salem News, on the front page. So it looks like a three-story building with the significant damage in that building. So that's a tragedy there. And everybody, about 15 to 20 residents escaped, but they are displaced from that structure. So that's a tough break there. So the fires don't take a break. Seems like you think about all these fires, Rick, and they're in the middle of the coldest days in the wintertime, and here we are. You're still getting them, so that's kind of tragic. I think there have been a couple of other fires, and I know on the news too. So, and there's one up in Raymond, New Hampshire, a very big one up there in downtown Raymond, New Hampshire. So, we're not immune from them, even in the warmer weather. I guess a lot of them tend to be heating related kinds of things. All right, well, those are some of our news stories, Rick. And so summer solstice and the longest days of the year are up this week, and a full moon last night as well. So who knows what is up this week. Anything else from you?
Yeah, and what's that?
Anything else from you? Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I you know, we talked in our pregame warm-up here. I watched the NBA championships last night, the finals, and these so-called sports experts on local talk radio who keep telling us how not great LeBron James is are boy, man, did they miss the bus. LeBron James carried the Cavaliers. He got some help, but he carried the Cavs to the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. And so a tremendous event. Watching this guy, like him or don't watch him, man, he is a force.
I'll be, as I mentioned to you earlier, I did not watch the championship game last night. I would have recorded it with probably not watching it, but I just didn't watch it last night. My bad on that front. But, okay, congratulations to LeBron. He came back to Cleveland. I kind of like that about the piece. And first championship in Cleveland in 50 years. The last championship in Cleveland was not the Indians. Obviously not the Cavaliers going back 50 years, but the Browns, as they beat the Colts some 50 years ago for the NFL championship. So so 50 years ago, that would have been, wow, that would have been just before the first Super Bowl, I'm thinking, somewhere like that. That goes way back. So because I remember the first Super Bowl, as do you, Rick, I'm afraid.
The
Super Bowl started, yeah. Yeah. No, actually, I'm thinking of Monday Night Football, actually. But that was about the same time, too, I think, yeah. So maybe it was a Super Bowl.
I remember thinking, what a stupid name for a football game, Super Bowl.
That'll never catch on. No.
Yeah.
Rick said, why don't they come up with the big game? How about that? That would make a lot
there
more sense,
yeah.
Big game.
I also predicted that Tom Brady would be a good game manager, but never spectacular. And I also predicted that no one would ever buy telephones with cameras in them. Who the hell needs a phone with a camera in it? So anything I predict, Bill, by all means, go after the opposite, and you'll be guaranteed a win.
Yeah. Well, you know, for those people, maybe not in the media, but I remember back years ago when you wanted to run a promotion around the Super Bowl. So you're a newspaper, you're a television station, radio station. You want to run a promotion around the Super Bowl. Hey, it's Super Bowl Sunday. You couldn't say that because the NFL had copyrighted that. So you'd have to say the big game. So, you know, but everyone knew what the big game was. You know, hey, it's football's big game, blah, blah, blah. But you could not say the word Super Bowl. So That's why. So that's why I came up with you suggesting maybe call it the Big Game. But
I still don't like the name Super Bowl. So I'll go with Big Game. That sounds good.
You know, and you know what's interesting too, Rick, is that I mean, I you know, back when we were growing up, the bowl games, you know, it was the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl. That was relatively new, the Cotton Bowl. All these bowls, they were the big thing. And but now it's like, you know, you have the playoffs and the bowls are less and less. You know, you got the Nacho Salsa Bowl. You know, you got the cereal bowl. Anything, you got a bowl for it. But it takes away the meaning of the word bowl. So I'm thinking that today's young people may not, you know, Super Bowl may not have the connection that it might have had with us years ago.
You know, I remember, you're right, back in the 60s and 70s. Correct me, see if we have this right now. The bowl games, it was the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Gator Bowl, the Sugar Bowl. Yeah. I think there were five of them.
Yeah,
that was it.
Probably.
And they took, you know, and they took winning teams from each of the conferences, and so you had sort of regional champions, and that's how it was. And the Rose Bowl was the only game, you know, on New Year's Day.
Yeah, they did not have the Tostita Bowl or whatever. No. whatever the Tostitas took over or whatever. Well, whatever. We change. Things change. We got to be flexible. We're not showing that right now, folks, but we have to be a little bit flexible here. Hey, and the Navigators won too, Rick. How about that?
Three in a row.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. The Navigators were struggling. They were finding wins harder than I don't know what harder than, but they were not winning baseball games, and they've now won what, three straight games, and so congratulations.
Yeah, they pulled off a doubleheader big doubleheader on Saturday. They got the offense going, and then they won again on Sunday, and doing very well. And, of course, we've got the storylines up there on the website.
Now, the Navigators are off tonight. So if you're thinking, hey, I want to cash in on this winning streak here, you can't watch the Navigators tonight, but they'll take on the Wachusett Dirt Dogs Tuesday. And we'll find out if that's a home game. I'm not sure if that's a home game or not. I don't know, to be honest with you, if that's a home game, but we'll figure that out as soon as possible. Yeah, wait a minute here. I'll find that out right now. No, I won't. I'm sorry. So we'll find that out. I thought I was going to find that right out. And I should have a schedule in front of me, too, but I don't. But anyways, maybe we'll put it up on the post when we finish here today. So, all right. Well, those are some of the stories. We do have some rain in our forecast for overnight, but not a lot of rain early tomorrow morning. But the summer will roll on. It begins to roll. And one other sports story here, Rick. This is from Steve Krause in the item. Remember, I think at the item – Moynihan Lumber student athlete luncheon. They were talking about Lynn Tech senior Justin Lewis. So let me just see. Steve Krause, Lewis was a top 10 jumper in the weekend meet in the outdoor track national championships in Greensboro, North Carolina. He jumped six and a quarter in Sunday's event. And while it wasn't the 6.8 he had hoped for, and that had been done several times in the Commonwealth Conference meets, he was happy with it. Quote, it's a different jumping in something like this than it is in a league meet, he said. Also, I'm not used to jumping in 85-degree heat. And Lewis was one of two Tech athletes to go to the Greensboro. Akeem Blake, the 19th in the freshman 100-yard dash event, was at 11:33. So anyways, and Tech coach John Hogan, I'm happy with their performances. So there are a couple of Lynn Tech track athletes competing in North Carolina. So congratulations to them. So,
yeah, I have one final thought too, Bill. I'm hoping that we can get Gary Larrabee on North Shore Sports Night tonight, hoping to make it, and hoping we have a program, because I really want to get his opinion about the U.S. Open finish yesterday. That was just bizarre. So I want to see what Gary's opinion is on that, on the penalty stroke given to the winner.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw a little bit of that, but I really, again, I was not watching golf either this week. I will flip on the majors just to click in and just see what's going on. But they assessed the winner a stroke for what, making contact with the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he didn't. But all the players even said he didn't address the ball. So I don't know how it moved, but maybe it was a minor earthquake. How many the majors? There are four majors, right? There's the
yep.
U.S. Open, the Masters, the British. What am I missing? Is it the Players or the PGA?
I guess it's the PGA. I'm thinking the USGA. I was kind of confusing that with the PGA. Yeah, that must be it because it's the British.
The PGA, okay.
Yeah, that must be
okay.
It. I'm sure we're wrong, so folks, don't, you know,
yep.
Feel free to email us. Go ahead and do it, you know, or not. Well, it's your call. You know, what do we know? But, all right, so there you go. Cavaliers win. A little bit of controversy in the USGA, the championship there, and whatever. So that'll do it for us for today. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for being with us on North Shore Today. Need a plan for September? Attend North Shore Community College's open house on Saturday, June 25th from 10 to noon in Danvers. Learn about 80-plus associate degree and career training programs, how to avoid student debt, transfer programs for bachelor's degrees, and earning credit for prior learning or military service. Enrolling now for September of this year. Details at northshore.edu. That's northshore.edu.